1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Nate Taylor from ESPN joining us in studio, our Chiefs insider. It's been a bit, obviously, since we had you in studio. You have a good holiday and everything?
Sure.
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 I mean, the Chiefs couldn't ruin your Christmas. That season was long over before that game ever happened.
I know, but my holiday season was fantastic, and it was nice to have all of Holly's family at the house for Christmas. It was just a very unusual feeling to be like, well, I guess I got to get out of these pajamas and go to work. Which is not the worst thing. I totally understand that. But
I like a routine.
But yeah, you're just like, it would be nice if like this game mattered. you know, and that was the best that we saw Chris Oladokun play. You know, so they made it close. It was interesting, I think, more on a defensive side. But yeah, it was not the same as last year when they were in Pittsburgh and they were, you know, battling for the one seed and, you know, trying to do miraculous things with Joe Tooney as their left tackle. It just did not feel the same.
Did not pass the vibes check.
God, at the end of the year.
But it, like, I don't know. If we mentioned, I think, and Andy is because of where he is in his career, where Mahomes is in his career, and all this. I mean, it's a crossroads offseason.
Uh huh.
Where it's, do you stick with the left side path, which is we've been the most successful franchise in the NFL. We went to 7 straight AFC title games. Everything was working. We were humming along. Or this season sucks so bad, we got to take the right path, which is we got to change some things on offense. We got to invest in places we haven't invested. And we got to make some real franchise changing decisions, whether that be that. So like, I feel like they're there. I feel like they got to choose which side of the road they want to go down. I think I always feel like this way in just life. Going down the middle sucks.
Right.
That way, I just feel like not committing to one side works.
And I'm so happy you said that because we're kind of seeing that play out in Indianapolis. Sorry, Drew. I know he roots for the Bengals. But
yeah, he's an indie guy.
But, you know, we're seeing that with the Colts right now where it's like they could have tore it down yesterday. Instead, Carly decides to keep both the general manager and head coach intact for what essentially puts them in a bind by making them, you know, one and done sort of candidates for 2026. The Chiefs, and I know Clark Hunt has yet to speak. I know Brett Veach has yet to say anything publicly about the end of the season. We got Andy Reid yesterday.
Veach will talk at some point, right? He usually does an end of the year one, doesn't he? Doesn't he?
I mean,
am I imagining that now?
Looking like it's not going to happen, boys.
Ah, man, I like the GM stuff.
The face Mr. Gold just made. Oh,
I mean, look, this is.
Hey, I'm just telling you what the team has told me. Like, I don't.
Does Brett Veach talk the least amount of any general manager in the entire NFL? He talks like twice a year.
This you could say that for this season. Now,
the combine, the draft, once during camp, end of list.
There you go. Yeah. Now, you know, in the past when they've won the AFC championship, he, you know, is available to reporters. He's obviously available during Super Bowl week, which has been the case 5 of the last 6 years. You know, we have been told that we will probably talk to him at the combine.
All right. We'll save it.
So that's their prerogative. You know, if that, you know, I think it's understandable for everything you just said, Cody, in terms of framing this, for this to be a seismic offseason, I do understand why fans would like to hear from the general manager. The Chiefs have chosen to do that for, you know, what'll come in, what, 5-6 weeks from now? I know that a lot of the players were left yesterday and for much of the past 3 weeks, right? Wrestling with the idea that, like, not a lot of guys are likely to come back. And, you know, so they've put out messages on social media. They've tossed amongst themselves. They've shared, you know, proper goodbyes. So it I think from a player standpoint, it does seem like a pretty, again, seismic, turbulent offseason in terms of change.
It could be 30% of their roster turnover.
It might be more than that. Yeah. It might be more than that. You know, and again, a number of these factors are because of we don't know what the salary cap will be next year. We obviously know it'll increase, but how much? You know, what happens with Patrick's contract? especially now that he is, you know, rehabbing off a major knee injury. I was always of the belief that this was going to be the year that they really could have tore up his contract and restructured it all over again.
We had Joe Corey on. He said next year actually
is now feasible.
Better, like it makes more financial sense for the team, I guess, that way. But
the quarterback was going to. I think the quarterback was looking around and saying, "We need to."
It's about time.
Yeah. And so again, my understanding was, from the player standpoint, given the amount of success he's had, seeing that he had already helped the quarterback market reset itself once again, this would have been the offseason to really exploit a new contract to give yourself even more flexibility in terms of this offseason, given the fact that we all know Jawan Taylor is likely to not come back. Mm-hmm. You're going to likely not have Mike Dana come back. You're going to have all these cost-cutting moves in terms of savings, and now you can have the quarterback sign a brand new, potentially, I should say, could sign a new contract that could give you even more cap space. So now that makes it, I think, tricky because of the injury standpoint. I love Corey. And so if it happens next year, hey, that's totally fine. It makes sense. Again, the cap, we assume, will continue to rise over time. But the big question is, and I know Andy swatted it away like Dikembe Mutombo yesterday, was what's going to happen with the coaching staff. And that will be, I think, the pivotal point in this offseason. How much change occurs there will really, I think, inform a lot of fans about how the team not only views itself in terms of its own scheme evaluation and how players were either developed or lacked thereof, but how much does the coaching staff change to your point, Cody, make it feel like, okay, the organization understands how big of an offseason this is.
Can I ask you about like OC, which looks like it's going to change?
It will change.
They're just
unless
saying,
unless something
dramatic happens.
Yes. My understanding is, and I mean, this was, there's a reason, kids, why the moment the Tennessee job was going to become open, once they fired Callahan, that Matt Nagy became an obvious choice. Now, what's interesting is you're already starting to hear somewhat rumblings about could Nagy convince Steve Spagnuolo to join him if things go a certain way in Nashville. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that was an interesting sort of speculation point yesterday, given that Tennessee wants to interview both candidates. Here's the thing. I have so much knowledge, yet I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I don't believe Matt Nagy's going to be back. We all know he doesn't have a contract. He's
a free agent.
In essence, a free agent. Now Spagnuolo is under contract, so there's a little bit of that gives you a little bit of context to things. But something would have to go very wild for Matt Nagy to come back, and I think Andy Reid has already acknowledged that he would like Nagy to be given a second opportunity as a head coach, which, again, is create and choose your own adventure when it comes to the offensive coordinator, given that this will be the next chapter of your quarterback's career.
Alex is going to ask you about candidates here in a minute, obviously. People are going to mention Cliff and Kafka and all the names that are out there. We were having a debate over the offensive coordinator. I'm curious how you view it. What are the three most important job functions of an offensive coordinator under Andy Reid? I think people always assume play calling.
Yep.
In some systems, that might be. I think it's development of players number one by a mile, and that's the issue I still have with Nagy. Yep. Is under him,
yep,
wide receiver, quarterback, and running backs have not gotten better. His job is to oversee the development of players.
Correct.
And players aren't getting better.
Right, and so that would be like number two on my list. Number one is you have to be the right companion for Andy. Andy's going to scheme guys open. That's just a fact, right? So as offensive coordinator, my belief is, how do we get these things to mirror? How do we get these things to match, to synchronize once again in the running game, in the specialty plays, in the red zone, short yardage? The creativity has been lacking, I think, especially in the red zone. And that was something that, if Chiefs fans remember, they were excellent in like that 2020, 2021, 2022 era of them just being excellent in the red zone. So Andy's always going to be pass first. We understand that. It's a passing league. He's got the best quarterback we've ever seen play the position. But you still have to have a number of diverse variety of ways to run the ball well, to have things, again, match up so that it's not as easy for the defense to decipher certain things in terms of not being as predictable. And so that's where you work with Andy in terms of the game plan on a week-to-week basis and obviously the scheme that you're developing from essentially after the combine all the way up until, you know, week one.
So you're saying job one is refine the scheme.
You just have to be the right partner, right? I mean, like, I think of, like, wow, this is a wild comparison. I understand what I'm about to say. They just went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. But, like, think about Outkast, right? Outkast does not work if it's just one individual person. Now, we know Andre 3000 is a creative genius, right? A lyricist that is hard to, like...
I think Matt Nagy's ever been called Big Boy before.
But that's essentially what you have to be. Like, Andy Reid is Andre 3000. Like, he can do anything. He could just, one year, just start playing the flute and make it viable, I guess. But, like, you still have to have the traditional big boy, big sound, like, traditional hip-hop so that, yes, all the other creative stuff can, like, blossom around that. You need both of them, and you need a yin and a yang, honestly. And I know that's why people still have an affinity for Eric Bieniemy, because the Chiefs' running game was more diverse. It was more understandable. It was easier for the running back. He actually, to your point, developed running backs over the course of his time. He made Damian Williams a star within a matter of weeks once Kareem Hunt was removed from the team in 2018. So I understand that, like, people want Eric Bieniemy for that particular principle. And then I would say third is you have to have someone who can look Patrick in the eye and say, I am going to make you better. And not just say it, but, like, demand it. And, hey, man, you can't do this like you did it back in whatever year. Like, you're coming off an ACL injury. I need to see more refinement in the footwork. And now I thought his accuracy actually improved over the case of this past year. But, like, how do we get the deep ball to be better? How do we understand, like, how can we communicate with our receivers to, like, really get you guys to be, like, you know, mind-melding out there on the field? Because, unfortunately, this year, a lot of it still went to – we still defaulted to copy and paste, and the pace was, where's 87?
Yeah. We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Okay, so everything you described there, who do you actually think is the best fit potentially? We know today – Cliff Kingsbury no longer with the Commanders. We were talking about him earlier. I'm not saying it's like this home run hire. I'm intrigued by Cliff in terms of the relationship he has with Mahomes.
Yes.
And certainly, you know, this was a guy just a year ago, everybody was praising for what he did with Jaden Daniels. Now, I was texting with somebody in D.C. We were reading the text on the air that was mentioning that the reason why he's leaving D.C. is him and Dan Quinn had a disconnect of how they want to move forward. Dan Quinn wants to go old school, more of a run game, under center. Now, we talked a lot about going under center in Kansas City a lot, and Cliff runs an air raid.
That's
so
right,
is
baby.
Is it a bad fit for you, or do you think it could work? Because Cliff also might want to call plays. That's the other problem.
That's the other thing, yeah. Like, and again, maybe he has a bit of a different style. And I mean, I think we do know he has a different style than Matt Nagy. Now, I'm not saying one's better than the other, but like, again, just inserting him into the offense would make the offense slightly different, right? Whether it's Andy letting him, you know, design certain things for certain situations, therefore those are quote unquote his plays, depending on whoever the play caller technically is. Obviously, Andy's always going to say, and still has 51% of the vote when it comes to calling the plays. The reason why Dan Quinn wants to get under center is, have you seen our quarterback? He's a twig. Like, yeah. And unless he's going to have the ability, you know, I would actually tell, now I'm on a totally different tangent, I would actually tell Jaden Daniels, watch Lamar Jackson tape. Like, I'm not saying you're Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson never takes big hits, despite him still running around. Now, he got sacked a lot more this season, and that led to his own injuries, but, like, that's the reason why Dan Quinn wants to get under center more, is can I keep my quarterback
viable? Sounds like
viable?
A dinosaur philosophy, though. Dan Quinn, by the way, this time next year, Dan Quinn will not be the head coach. Dan Quinn will be fired this time next year.
If the quarterback gets hurt. Yeah. So, look, they're going to try, and I understand that. And I understand if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're like, well, that's not our quarterback. But now I give you a better quarterback who you obviously developed in college. And – unlike a lot of coaches at the time, kind of saw the future and gravitated towards it in terms of having a quarterback of this dynamic ability, instead of being like, well, his footwork's off, his arm, you know, his decision making is a little bit tricky. You know, can this air raid really work in the modern, you know, college game at the time, let alone like, you know, the NFL? So,
well, there were no air raid success quarterbacks until
Patrick Mahomes really came.
Sounds like, indeed, as far as like how it would relate to Kansas City, the only question I would have, and would Andy be willing to go that direction? Because Cliff goes up tempo more than anybody else. Like, that's just, and that puts stress on your defense. Like, that's not how they typically have wanted to play. Now, I actually want them to change how they're playing, but is Andy Reid, in your mind, willing to differ that much?
I think you're asking the wrong person, my friend. I think you're asking the wrong person. Someone has to throw the football, kids, and what does he want?
I think he has familiarity with Cliff. That's
He loves Cliff.
Well, I think Mahomes should have more.
Daniels said he loved Cliff. He was mad that he got canned.
I think Mahomes should have more say now than he ever has in his career.
You could argue. So. You could make an argument for that. So if Patrick's on board, it would be really hard for Andy to be like, well, hey, this is the guy I talked to several times about Patrick before we even had the chance to go up and make the trade to select him. So that is, in its sense, its own reunion, even though they've never, quote unquote, worked together. They are of the same mind. So I don't think it's a bad thing if it's Cliff Kingsbury. That would be obviously a very Patrick Mahomes centric selection. I don't know what's going to happen with Mike Kafka. I think that's the mystery in this that I cannot grasp. And I'm going to try to like maybe figure it out by the end of the week, because I really haven't heard Kafka's name much when it comes to the Chiefs. I don't know why that is, because he was like considered,
they loved him. They did not want him to leave.
He was considered the next guy after Bienemy was going to, we all assume, get a head coaching job. That never happened, kids. He obviously went to New York to have the ability to call plays under Brian Daboll, and then obviously he was the interim Giants coach.
It was like we're headed towards a Matt Nagy, head coach of the Titans, offensive coordinator and play caller Mike Kafka in Tennessee with Matt Nagy, Dave Merritt, DC Titans.
Or
Spags? Why would Spags leave?
True, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
can we talk to you about
it? Yeah, yeah.
What can we interest you in that? So if that's the case, and I think you might be onto something, Mr. Gold. That's definitely a plausible scenario.
He didn't like when you pluck guys from him.
I'm just saying it. It just leaves one guy available. One guy who's ready to come back home. If the opportunity presented itself.
Nate, I said, I want the theme of this offseason to be.
We'll have to pull up some old tweets and texts if he comes back. Everybody all of a sudden acting like Eric Bieniemy is the savior. Same people that were texting the show saying he can't get a head coaching job because he doesn't do anything on the offense. I'm just saying.
I want the theme of this season to never hear the sentence, we're bringing back blank. I don't want to hear it. Is there someone outside of the circle that we haven't named? People mentioned Shieldhouse or some others. Are you hearing any other rumblings of any other potential offensive coordinator guys that aren't Kafka, Nagy, Bieniemy? That's the same four, Cliff. The same four we've heard up to this point.
Cliff's the monkey wrench in this, because I didn't believe Cliff was going to be let go. And again, I don't know how much it really serves Washington to let him pursue other possibilities, but like, okay, if Cliff's available, then that's new. That was not necessarily expected.
Who else? Is there one? It seemed like you got someone. Could you just give me one name of a possibility?
Hey, Eric.
I'll take anybody off of Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan.
I'm gonna need you to give me everything from the Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
That's my whole thing. Everybody's like, look, and this is the same thing the way people talk about Matt Nagy, where it's like he gets too much blame.
Of course.
As well, Eric Bieniemy, I think in Chicago, is doing a very nice job with the run game. Way too much credit, though, for that's why Swift and Manungai in the run scheme. Did people not watch Detroit? Ben Johnson did that with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Correct. And his run game, he's doing the same thing with Swift and Manungai. Look, I'm not saying Eric Bieniemy hasn't had an impact on the run game in Chicago, but he's not the genius behind the offense in Chicago. That is Ben Johnson.
Correct, but I do think from a technical standpoint, in terms of teaching and developing running backs over the course of the season,
he's great at that,
and managing the offensive line in the run game, you could say Eric Bieniemy does have a bit of sway and a bit of influence on that, considering he's had success over the course of his coaching career in the NFL doing that.
I mean, he can come be the running back coach. He wants to leave Chicago. Sure.
That's
I know it's not happening. I know that's not happening. My point is, like, what you're describing sounds like a really good running back coach.
So, look, guys.
If you can't tell, I'm just not really a big fan of bringing back Eric Bieniemy.
I just don't want to bring back anybody.
Look,
new blood.
There's a reason why a certain tight end mentioned Eric Bieniemy on his podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. I mean, come on.
I thought, here's a question I guess I had. I thought the implication, I thought, is they had a little bit of a falling out. Like, Andy sometimes, because the way Andy runs, like, him and Peterson had a falling out. Mm. Oh, I don't think it was that bad, but, like, sometimes Andy runs sideways with some guys, and they have the mutual parting of ways. Like, he's getting ready to do with Nagy. He had the mutual parting of ways with Bieniemy.
I think
that water under a bridge now?
Potentially, yes. I think that's very possible, because I think for Andy, if I had to interpret how that all situation went, like, I mean, people forget this. I mean, Andy was saying that you're messing up the process, right? I've coached this guy up to be a head coach, and yet no one will give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I remember whatever year it was.
You think it was more like, set this bird free?
Like, yeah. Like, yeah, what else can I, like, we have, and again, for him, even at the time, like, how can I even advance or develop my own coaching staff, my own scheme? Like, how can we, like, continue to grow if no one wants to take this guy? And also, like, it's going to stunt his own growth and his own development as a coach. And I completely understand that, too. He went to owners at the owners meeting. I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2021, 2022. I can't remember. And basically, you know, I know I can't curse, and I know Andy Reid doesn't curse, but it was essentially the him going into a room full of, let's just say it, older white gentlemen, and mother bleeping all of them about them not being willing to give Eric Bieniemy an opportunity, given how poorly the Rooney Rule has been interpreted, yet alone implied, and governed in the NFL. So he goes off to Washington, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't go well. Then he goes to UCLA, doesn't go well. Now he's back in Chicago.
It's going great.
It's going great, by all intents and purposes. And he's an overqualified, you know, position coach. You could argue, but hey, that's how you can have a advantage from a coaching standpoint if you're Ben Johnson doing this for the first time. But I don't think it was necessarily, like, you know, a schism between the two.
You don't
men.
Think it was like the Peterson thing where they
I don't. Now, again, I wasn't around for the Peterson era. I want to make that clear, so I don't know.
I was around for that, and I would describe that as a falling out.
Okay. So think about it from this standpoint in terms of leadership, understanding Patrick, discipline. And I think this is something that's really, really interesting. This was a team that lacked focus, discipline, and concentration. We ain't gonna have that problems with Eric Bieniemy. That was never, I shouldn't say that was never, but that was not a main criticism of his time in Kansas City. The criticism was, you know, can they, you know, find a way to be a little bit more, and this was back to when, you know, the too high stuff happened. Did it take them longer than necessary to sort of make the adjustment? Yeah. They eventually made the adjustments in 2022. And I think the greatest year for all of these three coaches, I should say, the greatest year in all of these coaches, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and you know, Eric Bieniemy, their greatest years, I believe, will be 2022. What they did together in 2022 gave them such a massive coaching advantage over just about every other team, because they all had career years that year together. And they had a quarterback who went on to be an MVP, and even despite a, you know, significantly high ankle sprain, still went on to win the Super Bowl.
Nate Taylor hanging out with us here on 96.5 The Fan, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. I want to talk about Travis Kelce a little bit. You mentioned the tight end. We'll see where that is maybe headed. Also, we got 100 and something days, so we don't have to go too deep in it, but I just want your early thoughts. 9th overall pick, earliest pick in the Brett Veach era. January we'll do 16. That next.
Nate Taylor in studio with us as Alex tries to figure out the hell happened to his headphones. He can't figure out how they got twisted around.
We're back, baby. We're back. Hanging
we're
out here on a Tuesday. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN with us. We talked a little bit about just how we think maybe at this point in time, perhaps and how complicated maybe the OC situation could be. And now add Cliff Kingsbury's name maybe in the mix as well. What about Travis Kelce, and how does that change just this entire offseason? We know last year it was pretty quick he decided to come back. This time he's got all of January, plus some maybe if he wants.
Yep.
He's not under contract. He ended up having a really good statistical season for this team. We know the drops were a thing. Do you think, let's start with this. A, do you think he is more or less likely to come back based off of the Mahomes injury and just how it ended here?
I think I asked him twice about Patrick.
You tried.
I really tried. And he was like, come on, Nate, stop.
I think the decision's harder, clearly, because he said last year it was easy. That implies to me that this year will be hard.
Yeah. And again, the way the guys reacted to him in the locker room Sunday in Las Vegas made it seem like, if this is it, man, thank you. I love you. It was an honor to be your teammate and play with you. Like, there was so much of that going on in the locker room that it was kind of like, man, this feels different than it was in New Orleans after the Super Bowl. Obviously, that was just a lot of shock just because you're like, wow, not only did we lose, but, like, we got our doors blown off. Patrick, I just have the belief, and I can't report this, so I am educationally speculating. I am giving...
Taking all the context you got.
Yes, my best read of who these two people are and how much they love each other and the fact that they are best friends. I know last year, Patrick said, I didn't want to necessarily bother him in his decision. I gave him all the free time. You know, he knew that, like, he could call me whenever he wanted. But, hey, I'm going to just let my guy do his thing, get away from the game. That's what coach just told him. So, I'm going to fall back, you know. And then my guy got that itch. Let me know. Let coach know. Okay, we back on it. All right. This year has to be a different game plan. I just think Patrick has to be sending him videos of, this is what I'm doing today. I'm in here. I ain't going nowhere. It's me and Julie, you know. That is not our last pass together. That little nonsense in the 2 minutes.
Your last catch is not going to be a 6 yard Chargers. Out from Oladokun.
Yeah. No. This has to be a full court press from Patrick, in my belief, to get Kelce to understand that not only does he want to come back, but, you know, I know Chris Jones said it Sunday, like, hey, we still have more things to accomplish. And you could argue that's the case. Now, you could also make the point that Kelce's literally accomplished just about everything, so what is left to play for? But I'd also tell those people that, like, well, Travis Kelce loves the game, and he's been literally showing you for the last 3 weeks how much he loves playing football. He's been getting cardio out there. He was wide open
in the end zone.
This man loves it. He's still getting wide open in the end zone and just putting his hand down because he's like, yeah.
Is it about to be awkward then? Because what you're saying, let's say, I totally agree with you that he obviously loves the game of football still.
Loves it.
And let's say we fast forward 4 weeks from now, and he's like, you know what? I actually do want to play again. Mm-hmm. He's a lifer for the Chiefs. I think he will be.
Yes.
But does it get awkward? Because I told Cody, I'm all about him coming back. That's fine. But it's not 1 year at $16 million. And then how do you balance that? Like, you're not going to insult him and be like, well, 1 year, $4 million. You're not coming back for $4 million.
Oh, I'm so happy you brought this up.
What is the number?
How do you plan that?
Fire it up.
Yeah. Like, how do you play that out? Because you don't want to insult him. You also, you know, this is a guy that is a legendary piece of your franchise, but Correct. You also still have to make smart decisions about moving forward.
Guys, I want you to know that Taysom Hill made $10 million this season. Yeah. At the age of 36. Now,
that was the last Mickey Loomis goodbye to the organization.
I'm sorry. That just cracks me up. Taysom Hill made $10 million. I'm sorry, guys. That's crazy. Now, Evan Ingram made 11 and a half. I think the sweet spot.
12? 14?
14.
Okay.
See, that's too high to me. Is it best for the offense moving forward, though, running through him?
What if we give you a $14 million contract? You sign it today, massive signing bonus. Now, I don't know what you can do from a manipulation.
For the first time in years, Brett Veach, if he signs Travis Kelce, should activate for the first time in his entire GM career void years.
Yeah, and what will Clark?
It should be a 5-year contract. Excuse me, pay him for one.
Excuse me, what will Clark Hunt say to that?
Mm-hmm. Hey, he just got $700 million from the state of Kansas. He just paid.
He got more than $700 million.
Hey, is there
70% of the guys, $10 billion
around the first? I just want to tell everybody the first void contract that the Chiefs actually took on was DeAndre Hopkins' contract when they traded for him.
Oh, that's right.
But this is not a
great execution of it.
This is not a Brett Veach issue. This is not an Andy Reid issue. This is a Clark Hunt issue. Clark Hunt don't want to do void years, y'all. He doesn't want the
negative equity on the check. He don't want to be paying it out for nothing. I mean, come on, man.
I'm just telling you the facts. The first void contract he going to give out is the first void contract he going to give out. That's just the way their accounting and budgeting works. People been asking me for years, and I'm just like, hey, bro, is that a front office issue? That's the ownership issue.
I thought maybe Veach didn't like the negative equity on the books.
Because
they also don't care any dead cap. They're really
correct.
Good about that
and
as
that
well.
And that is part of... Hey, didn't we give out big contracts under a certain general manager? And that hurt. I don't like doing that. Ooh, brother. Ooh. So, like, if you want to swing the pendulum from one direction to the other, yes, they do not have a ton of dead cap unless they have to do it, which is, like, quote unquote, like the Frank Clarks or the, you know, maybe the Juwan Taylor upcoming. But, like, normally they're not trying to operate with that. I think Brett Veach and his front office understands both the benefits of void years and the negatives of void years. Now, the cap has to keep going up, which likely it will, which is why everyone who does void years feels comfortable doing it because that percentage of that dead money will continue to shrink over time. I totally understand that. But if you are operating like a normal business that is conservative to a fault to some degree based on previous experience, based on, hey, make this year's roster work with this year's salary cap. That's how you get to no void years. For Travis Kelce specifically, Mark Andrews is making $13 million a year. That's preposterous. Cole Kmet's making 12.5. Jake Ferguson's making 12.5.
Hey, about right.
Pat Freiermuth making 12.1. Pat Freiermuth is actually probably the most productive guy I just named. He's 28 years old.
He's underpaid, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So I think, again, with the cap going up, Jonnu Smith making $12 million, Dalton Schultz making $12 million, although I think he's probably at the tail end of his prime. 14 seems about reasonable. If you want to put incentives on it, that's where the Chiefs have sort of made their money as well, is like, hey, let's incentivize these contracts with workout bonuses, 10, roster bonuses. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're like, hey, you know, I always try to tell people, like, well, Hollywood could make a maximum of $11 million. He will probably not do that. That's more like $8 to $9 million, and that's where you save some of that money.
So this goes back to, like, you mentioned the draft and the players that they could be interested in, because if Travis does retire, elite pass-catching weapon for Patrick Mahomes goes way the hell up the list.
Mm-hmm.
Like Carnell Tate and any of the other guys. I mean, they go way, way up the list of needs. And I've seen Sadiq and other tight ends and stuff, but I've said, if you want a tight end that bad, just give Kyle Pitts a pile of money and draft a wide receiver and solve your problem that way. But, like, where's your early lead for first round? Or is it really just down to we're getting a wide receiver or we're getting a defensive lineman into first?
They have guys, this is not about flash and flare. You got to do that 2 years ago with Xavier Worthy. You manna from heaven came to you in the form of Josh Simmons last year. They have gone offense the last 2 years.
And so you
understand
like Bane,
that
huh?
They have to get a pass rusher, dude. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Like, there's
Christian's getting older every day.
There's exactly. And there's no, I mean, I know you gave the money to George Karlaftis. That ain't going to change. But, like, his productivity would get better if he had another guy.
Absolutely.
Who could manage some double teams or some game plan specific type stuff, or, you know, someone who just had more juice to bring along to the pass rush. If you, I mean, I know this is simple. I know this is not from the Chiefs philosophy, but every NFL Films thing will tell you the quarterback must go down and he must go down hard. Guys, yeah. We just went through a 17-game season of, hey, guys, it's 3rd and 9. Will they get off the field?
They didn't.
They did it.
And in free agency, finding one of those guys is a fortune, an absolute
Correct.
Fortune.
Correct.
Running back, I can pay the quote-unquote top-end free agent running back, Breece Hall, maybe this year.
Yes.
What is that, $12 million a year, $11 million a year, something like that?
And I would say overpay for him because...
Right, but like that's only $12 million. You go try to get an elite defensive end. I mean, we're talking $25, $30-plus million.
Easily. $4 million a year, probably.
It just makes more sense to have if you can get an elite pass rusher on a rookie contract.
Yeah, and I want to say this too, like in terms of like who is available in free agency at the pass rusher position too, also not great. No. If my memory's correct, I mean Trey Hendrickson. I mean, he's 32. He's 32 and he was hurt
for a year. I'd listen
Khalil
to
Mack, Joey Bosa. I mean,
this feels like the Bills' approach to the pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, anybody want to pay Von Miller? He's available.
It'd have to be like the home run of home run swings, like trading for Max Crosby or trading for Miles Garrett. And you're not getting those guys to give you those players anyway.
The Raiders are not trading with
Kansas
you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Can I interest you in Leonard Floyd, who's 34? Who will be 34? Arden Key, Joseph Asai, Cameron Jordan. Just to remind everybody,
Cam Jordan might be retiring.
Osai's probably the youngest, right? Out of all those guys,
AJ Epenesa.
I only remember Osai for helping push a Patrick Mahomes out of bounds, get him in a field goal.
Exactly.
Range.
He's already provided the best play in Chiefs. He's not going to give you anything bad. He's not going to give you any better play than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Quiddy Pay. Go get a pass rusher in the draft.
I agree.
I mean, you're never going to pick that high again for Mahomes.
We can't assume that.
Everybody, the coaching staff and the front office won't be around.
Yeah. So I mean, as much as I love Tate, again, I would. You gotta be able to affect the quarterback.
But based on, and look, it's really early. There's still combine and a million other things to go with it. As it sits right now, most draft experts say there's two guys willing to take in that range, right? And then a bunch of guys below. Now, look, I understand how the draft works. People get taken at 13th overall. Then other people are like, what? We had him at 40. So, like, I just don't. It's at pick 9. The only thing at this point I'm asking, like, one, I don't want a running back or a tight end. Like, I'm not really wanting to go that range or guard or some of this other stuff.
Or if you pick that player, he's got to be incredible.
I've been saying it for years anyway, but I mean it more than ever. I better not hear the word raw or talent. You know, like, oh, just got talent. We just got to coach him. Hell no. That player better be able to play tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
Spags is not allowed to sit him for half a year.
That's right.
To play.
The talent has to be so undeniable, kind of like Josh Simmons, that they're like, I mean, we did give Jalen Moore all that money, but dog, look at him. Look how strong he is. Look how athletic he is, even coming off a knee injury. It's got to be like that. Felix was a... Felix was a gamble because you were hoping to get something in year two or year three, given that he was even a late, and I want to remind people too, he was a late bloomer in college. So you were hoping that trend would sort of develop. And again, you were going to get 5 years at a premium position for cost control purposes. It just hasn't worked out.
Maybe we'll get the contract years undefeated for Felix this year.
Maybe. I mean,
if he's a late bloomer. Maybe
he will have all offseason to get ready.
Yeah.
So
an opportunity. There's not a lot of people competing on the defensive line yet.
Correct. And so, look, all you can guarantee yourself, ladies and gentlemen, is Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Omar Norman Lott coming off an ACL injury, Felix Anudike Uzomah coming off a torn hamstring. And
Gelati, I guess.
And Ashton Gelati.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it, boys.
Oh, I'm on board for top 10 pick being a defensive lineman of some sort.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think
whoever's the best.
For those that are clamoring for running back, I just think you can go either later in the draft or free agency. Jeremiah Love might end up being an awesome player, but like you said, you have to be 100% certain he's Jahmyr Gibbs or something like that to go draft a running back in the top 10.
I do want to add, now somebody's going to say, but what about there's got to be somebody in free agency, Nate. Okay, fine. I'll give you a name. Chiefs did try to trade for him. Adam Schefter did report days after the trade deadline that the Chiefs were trying to acquire Boye Mafe from Seattle, who is
Whose name we mentioned a bunch during mock draft season.
Who is only 28 years old, guys. He's only, we got a chance. He's 27 right now, but he'll be going into his 28th season. He is an unrestricted free agent the moment the season ends. And hey, you know, if you want to get more snaps, maybe. Baby Boye Mafe would be a name to consider. The one name I would consider for free agency based on years and the team already showing an interest in him.
I mean, you really can't have a chance to finally get an elite pass rusher, which is
nice. That's the most exciting part about, you know, over the next 100 plus days that we have to talk about this. Now, have you heard anything? Like, the season just ended, so I understand if nothing has changed. You can tell me that right away if you want. But Trent McDuffie, where do you think things stand there? I know he was put on IR late in the year. Let him get healthy. You know, he's under contract still, so he's not a free agent.
And you got the fifth year option.
Do you think? Do you think this offseason they will do something, whether it's extension or trade, or do you think they just play it out and say, hey, we're fine playing it out for another year?
I know McDuffie's fine probably playing it out for a year.
He knows the check will come.
Correct. I just want to remind people that Trent McDuffie is a better player than what we saw this past season. Now, some of that is personnel decisions because he's still their best nickel defender, despite them not playing him at nickel defender. And I think some of that is, hey, if I play on the outside and I demonstrate that I'm good on the outside, I can maximize my earning potential. Totally understand that, but Trent McDuffie is also a team guy, and they put Jamari Connor in there way too often without the skill set to even be close to competent at the nickel. That's not his fault. That's the coach's fault. Guys, they're not that Sauce Gardner trade looks terrible.
You don't think another team's gonna?
I would advise every team possible. Don't you dare give 2 first round picks for all pro corner. Even if I think Trent McDuffie is a better player,
I think if someone offers you that, you'd be a fool not to take it.
Not though. To take it, yeah. You but no one's. I mean, come on. I think Trent McDuffie is a better player than Sauce Gardner.
I do too.
Plus, wasn't most of the money already paid out, or the way they structured
it? Yes, they already got the contract.
So that's why they got the picks too, because the Colts, even if it doesn't end up panning out, like they gave up the draft picks, no doubt. But also, like, financially, though, the Colts aren't actually paying all that much.
So here's where the rubber meets the road. Okay, we got to get a first, point blank. If you're going to trade Trent McDuffie, five. Then the question comes, and you're on this, Cody. Is that and in 2026, or is it in 2027? And how much can you stomach that additional pick not being in this upcoming draft?
You'd have to re-sign Watson at that point, right?
And I think Watson's probably already out the door because he is technically, in terms of guys who are actually free agents, Trent McDuffie is not a free agent, ladies and gentlemen, so that's why we're talking trades, of free agent options. He's one of the best options at the cornerback position, with other teams realizing that Noel Williams has obviously developed really well. Christian Fulton appears to be healthier than he was at any point earlier this season. And so he's a viable option for next year because you signed him to a 2-year deal. And so where does Watson fit into all this if McDuffie is not traded?
He and Cook are both going to get way more money than people realize. Yes. It's just the life of the NFL defensive back.
Cook was awesome this year, and I don't think people quite understand how awesome he was.
He's going to make $15 million a year probably.
And again, that number is somewhat ballooned because, again, the cap will go up. So every year contracts get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's just the way the business works. I love Trent McDuffie, man. Not a problem in the locker room. Not a head case. Obviously team friendly. Can play multiple positions, which is definitely necessary in Steve Spagnuolo's complex scheme. Can blitz, can cover. You know, you would like for him to have better ball skills in terms of generating turnovers, but like that's the trade-off you made when you drafted him, right?
It's the entire secondary's problem.
You could also argue that too. So, I know that it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to get proper value for McDuffie. And so, again, is it a first and a second? Is it a first and a third? Okay, well,
is the second in 2027? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just. And are you comfortable with that? And if you make that move, do you then pivot back to Watson? Or do you do what you've always done, which is go in the draft and develop somebody else, you know, that we don't know yet? I mean, those are all very capable. But, I mean, like, Jalen Watson played a ton of snaps this year. He's a 7th-round pick. You have to advise him to get paid. You have to. And so if the Chiefs are not able to do that, then hey, you could stick with Trent McDuffie for another year, understanding that you still have the fifth-year option as a trading chip as well.
Lot of decisions to be made this offseason. We'll have Nate, I'm sure, in at some point a little bit closer to free agency. Also, if there's any news at some point on the coaching front or Travis Kelce. Feels like it might go quiet for a week or two here because, do you agree? Because Matt Nagy can't even do in-person interviews near Ken Spags until after the 19th.
Right.
So, I mean, it feels like, do you think it'll get a little quieter? Could the Chiefs hire a new OC before Matt Nagy technically even interviews for a head coaching job?
I don't think Andy really operates in that manner.
That's what I'm saying.
So
yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case, even though I guess you could do that. Because again, Matt Nagy is not under contract. So, which is a little bit of a different situation than we've had in the past year. So I guess Andy could do that, but that doesn't seem.
He's not like going to embarrass
Andy's,
anybody. Or
yeah,
like
it doesn't
that.
Seem yeah, like yeah. Andy's style, I guess, is what I'm looking for. So, no, I think, you know, I'm interested to see when we'll talk to Patrick Mahomes and just get from him directly how the rehab's going. Again, get directly from him how he feels about the possibility of him playing with Travis Kelce again because we haven't heard from him since the injury occurred. Yeah, I mean, if you were going to make coaching changes or – you do change the OC, which, again, we all assume at this point. Cliff, who do you want to be your wide receivers coach?
Yeah.
Who do you want to be your running backs coach?
I think I got rid of everyone in Washington. He might have someone there. They got rid of offensive line coach, defensive coordinator, coordinator.
Just think about that, too, ladies and gentlemen. Like, there's a two-sides all this. You could say, well, he wasn't a good coach anyway, and they got rid of him. But also, hey, man, if I'm coming aboard, can I bring my homies with me? So that might be an issue and a factor into why some of the coaching changes happen, if they do happen.
Nate Taylor from ESPN, our Chiefs insider. Great stuff as always. Enjoy a free weekend, man.
Cannot wait to watch playoff football.
On your couch like a casual.
Yeah. It'll be great.
Trevor Lawrence, get it done against Josh Allen. Oh, boy, that'll make a fun offseason.
Well, another job would open up.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
I think that
yeah,
happens.
Drew.
McDermott's getting canned.
Drew doesn't like Josh Allen. He's a Josh Allen hater.
He's overrated.
He's a hater. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.